Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
All right, here we go. This is the one. This is In the Jar, baby. Episode 2-2 with your boy, Dupe. I'm going to be real with y'all, man. I didn't eat before this, and I'm hungry as shit right now, dude. Hungry. So we might be a little bit more in the jar today. A little bit more... edgy. No, I'm just kidding. I'm cool. Little appetite suppressor here. Bang. Little hydration here. And a spill. Bang. What's the deal? What's the deal today, y'all? I don't know. I'm chilling, man. Did some sparring. Got hit in the head a couple times. Feeling a little loosey-goosey. Little smoke, little hydration, 85 grams of protein in my Merry Meat chicken that I had, around 2:30 p.m. It's 4:22 p.m. Arizona time right now. Y'all will probably be seeing this on a Sunday or a Monday, but either way, we're going to do what we normally do on this show here today. We're going to take a look at some articles. We're going to take a look at some of my emails, a little philosophy, a little business news. I'm getting more and more into the stock market news as a financial services professional. I feel obligated to share these current events and hopefully insights with y'all. It ain't always insightful, but it's damn sure always fun. We'll get into some philosophy. We'll get into some sports, some NFL. So there's some rumblings in the NFL going on a little bit. A couple contracts getting signed. A couple new uniform reveals. So we want to go over that with y'all today. And, yeah, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So let's get into it today, shall we? Is the trap phone dead? Please don't be dead. Trap phone dead. Okay, normally, so what I do, I haven't done it the last couple weeks, but normally what I do is, this is my Moto G Pure. I spent $140 to get service for the year through the track phone, not trap phone, but close. It's a company called Track Phone, TRACFONE, bootleg spelling, bootleg cellular service, but it gets the job done for making a lot of calls throughout the course of my work days, trying to reach people and spread the good word. So normally, when I swipe left on the trap phone, it'll give me articles suggested by Google, and Google's got a pretty good algorithm around that, because normally when I swipe left, there's some good juice on there, but trap phone is not alive right now. So we'll skip that part, as heartbreaking as that is. I brought some books over, and I'd like to share with you. Okay, so we're going to flip to, I hope the mic's not blocking my face. We're going to flip to a random page of Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights. So there is a component of this book that I think is pretty cool. He's got something in there called bumper stickers. So you see the regular text, right? And then you see the bumper sticker right here. It's always some random. I've read this book probably four times at this point. It's very good juice. So this is a live reading of a random page in Green Lights. The arrow doesn't seek the target. The target drives the arrow. We must be aware of what we attract in life because it is no accident or coincidence. The spider waits in his web for dinner to come. And we got some fun conversations going on throughout the house right now. We are moving. And there's a lot of folks in and out. The spider waits in his web for dinner to come. Yes, we must chase what we want, seek it out, cast our lines in the water. But sometimes we don't need to make things happen. Our souls are infinitely magnetic. This is a thought track that's been kind of dominating what I think about on a normal day. It's this law of attraction, and it sounds like I've talked about it on the show before, I'm sure, but the law of attraction is basically saying that we are like a bunch of cell towers, and we emit frequencies just like cell towers do to our phones. And the idea is that the frequencies we're emitting are signaling to whatever controls everything that goes on and saying, okay, put that in front of this person. Sometimes our thoughts are good and they bring good things. Sometimes our thoughts are bad and they bring bad things. I'll give you an example of the good. So I went to a stand-up show last night. And it's my favorite comedian in the world, Mr. William Montgomery of the Kill Tony show. That boy is lights out. It just comes to him. And I was sitting there thinking during the show, you know, we got sparring in the morning. I wonder if he'll come through the gym to see the guys. Because I figured they would do a podcast with Sean and Tim while he was here. And sure enough, you know, I was talking to Sugar before he got there, and I was just saying, dude, this guy is that dude, and he's my favorite comedian. And sure enough, William comes through the door, the young goat, the Tijuana tarantula, the vanilla gorilla, graced our presence, and the first thing that happened was Shug said, hey, you know, He introduced William to me, and it was everything I could have dreamed of. And I feel like part of that is because I was just thinking about it. I was thinking about, man, I connect with this fella, you know. Would love to meet him. And it happened. And life is good. So let's flip to another bumper sticker. Shall we? The grifter. Called yourself an artist. I call you a grifter. If you were Picasso, you could have stole from me. But you showed your hand. And you didn't know it. A bullshitter would have got away with it. But a liar like you can't. My dog could have sniffed your royal scam. Your sleight of hand ain't too slight, boy. You thought you'd meditate me to sleep, but when you pulled the trigger, you wet yourself. Cause you never cocked your gun. Damn. A bullshitter would have got away with it, but a liar like you can't. man. I don't really know what to make of that. Honestly, it seems like good juice. I can't even begin to break it down. It sounds cool. The other day, I went in a roadside Quick Mart and bought a candy bar and a beer. The total came up to $6.66 on the register. So I paid the cashier and left a penny in the need one, take one, got one, give one saucer. That's called superstitions. I don't know about superstitions, man. Some people swear by them. I'm not too sold on them. I had a coach in college that was arguably one of the more superstitious people that I've ever laid eyes on. And I think there's value in routine. I do. And a superstition, a ritual, a routine, I feel like they all fall into the same boat. There's something spiritual about popping up and making your coffee in the morning before even having a conscious thought. There's something special about it. It's like you're clear enough for God to channel through you, baby. Just for that, however long it is. It sounds like a lot of these bumper stickers are journal entries of his. And I've found in journaling myself, when you first start off journaling, you're going to try to front with the page. You're going to try to sound a certain way in your tone, the way you're writing things. And this is even when you're writing to yourself. No one else is going to see it. Over time, you kind of learn that barrier dissolves once you realize, I'm just going to sit down and be real. Real stream of consciousness thinking. A lot of folks have that filter up. And what's ironic is that what you're most scared of being behind that filter is normally what can change your life a little bit in that way. So, good juice from Green Lights. Thought I would just bring that into the studio on this fine Saturday. Y'all probably be seeing this Sunday, Monday. Okay. Let's go through a little bit of... Let's go to start. And I turn off the damn AC in the house during the podcast because I don't want the stuff to pick up. Obviously, some other stuff's picking up, but we're still rolling. Morning Brief. This is from Yahoo Finance. This article caught my eye, but it is still a live reading. AI has already managed the impossible, making utilities a hot trade. While NVIDIA has grabbed the headlines this year, most recently when its market cap topped $3 trillion, the AI halo effect has boosted an unlikely industry. Utilities are locally known as one of the more boring sectors of the market in a regulated industry whose rate structures are determined by states. Power companies aren't known for big growth. They've seen as defensive because demand for electricity remains relatively constant through economic cycles. Enter AI and the nearly insatiable power demand that comes with data centers. While the AI rush is emerging, power companies are the ones selling shovels into the gold rush. The S&P 500 index has rallied more than 10% this year, behind only communication services and information technology. Texas power company Vistra has led the way, more than doubling and following only NVIDIA itself and Supermicrocomputer on the S&P 500 year-to-date leaderboard. Coming in at number four is Constellation Energy with a nearly 70% gain. That is a lot. CARP said that despite those gains, valuations for power companies remain at historically attractive levels as earnings have kept pace. There's one potential circuit breaker in the story, though, and that's power capacity. So there's a guy that said, what we question is how quickly the energy infrastructure to support AI can be built to support the growth aspirations of the data center companies building the infrastructure. So what I'm hearing here is that AI data centers use ridiculous power. You see how much power is necessary to mine cryptocurrency, namely Bitcoin. And there's an indirect positive growth factor that is being shined down from the AI industry's growth to the growth of the power companies. It seems like a pretty linear relationship, but I don't think anyone other than a few would have called that, which it just goes to show you don't know what's going to happen till it happens. You know what I'm saying? We'll go on to the next deal here. Let's see what else we got. Okay, college football playoff and NFL will play on the same day, breaking down the TV schedule. This year, college football playoff games for the first time will go head-to-head with the NFL. The CFP has announced its broadcast schedule for the expanded 12-team postseason, setting up a Saturday clash in late December that will feature five major overlapping football telecasts with three first-round CFP games and two NFL Week 16 games. Here's the slate. Noon CFP Round 1, 1 Texans-Chiefs, 4 p.m. CFP Round 1, 4:30 Steelers-Ravens, 8 p.m. CFP Round 1. So until this season, CFP semifinal championship games have fallen on days without NFL games, but the expansion to 12 teams and the addition of a quarterfinals and first round made it impossible not to overlap with the NFL, which is seemingly on a mission to overtake as many games broadcast windows as it can. Previously, the NFL said to have been trying to convince the CFP committee to move one of its three Saturday games to Friday, December 20th, but clearly whatever efforts the NFL made weren't enough. In 2025, the CFP has the same first-round schedule planned. One game Friday night, December 19th, and three games Saturday, December 20th, which is also the NFL schedule's Week 16, a spot the league will no doubt continue to want to play games on Monday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So last year, the NFL's Week 16 slate included a late afternoon and primetime matchup that were the most watched sports telecasts of the day. The Steelers-Bengals game at 4:30, which drew 14.29 million viewers on NBC and a few others. It should be noted that two NFL games will be on broadcast TV, while the first two CFP games will be on cable. After round one, the CFP will have exclusive game windows on ESPN in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and final that won't face viewer competition from the NFL. So we're watching history unfold in college football right now. We got 12 teams that are going to be participating in the college football playoff. And it's what the people have wanted for a long time. I feel like the reason the committee didn't do it is because they felt like it was going to be a nightmare scheduling that many games. And I'm sure they'll have their humps to get over as they get closer to this and really get into the weeds on coordinating it logistically. Obviously, there's a little bit of crossfire on the broadcasting side, and I'm sure that that was something that they were considering when they were kind of implementing the whole playoff. But the playoff's been around for a good amount of time now. I still remember it like it was yesterday where they started doing it that way. And I feel like we're improving. Like, I feel like that's, over time, the playoff has been a large improvement to the landscape of college football. Instead of just picking the best two teams in America and having them duke it out, that approach is nostalgic to me because as a kid, that's what I came up watching. So, you know, I wouldn't be up in arms. I wouldn't be enraged if they went back to that. But at the end of the day, what they're doing, they're making the college football committee is making strides in improving the postseason in college football. It's really going to be something. What do we got next? James Clear. How to stick to a new habit, how to handle criticism, and four types of wealth. If you're having trouble sticking to a new habit, try a smaller version until it becomes automatic. Do less than you're capable of, but do it more consistently than you have before. 2. It's remarkable how often the real problem is not what happened, but how it was communicated. There are at least 4 types of wealth. 1. Financial wealth, money. 2. Social wealth, status. 3. Time wealth, freedom. 4. Physical wealth, health. Be wary of jobs that lure you with 1 and 2, but rob you of 3 and 4. That is easier said than done. Because when you're going through a job interview process, you can put your best foot forward, the employer can put their best foot forward, and then you sign the offer letter, you get hired, and 6 months down the road, neither party is what they brought to the table during the interview. It's just human nature. You want to be accepted by people. You want people to think you're smart. And the companies want to appear as a good place to work, but it really just takes giving it a try and then kind of realizing, okay, this isn't going to work. Or this isn't working for me. One of these 4 areas of my wealth are being violated. And you kind of just got, like, as an organization, you got to be quick to hire, quick to fire, in my opinion. And as an employee, I feel like you've got to be, obviously, you got to put ample weight towards making the initial decision. And I think folks are good at sniffing out bullshit too, but some folks aren't. And sometimes people are very good at selling you their vision. Saying, yeah, I want to invest in you personally. I want to invest in you this way and really make something of you, especially when you're young in your career. And most of the time it just takes working with someone to really know what they're made of, to really know what they're like when the bullets are flying. And I know in sales interviews a lot too, sales managers, sales directors, they will try to throw some bullets at you in the interview to kind of see how you respond. I remember when I was interviewing with the Indianapolis Colts, I was in my final interview, and my would-be boss, he ended up being my boss, kind of looked at me, and to start the interview off, he kind of looks me in the eye and he says, Clark, when I talk to you, I feel like I'm at a bar. Does that translate over into you, your communication professionally? And I was this green kid, man. I didn't have any concept of professionalism, you know, locker room talk, that type of deal, right? And, you know, I don't even remember what I said. I probably fumbled on my words and didn't have a good answer. But I got the job and, you know, we did some good work. And it was a great place to work, the Indianapolis Colts. But it's just one of those things, you know. I feel like when you weigh out the 4 types of wealth, and then you say, oh, you know, this could rob me of physical wealth. It could rob me of time wealth. You know, you got to take a second look. But a lot of times, you just got to get in there, man, and then realize for yourself. And it's uncomfortable making a change, especially when you got to go into someone and tell them like, hey, I can't work here anymore. It's a tough conversation, but it's liberating when you kind of finally get the cojones to make it happen, you know? Okay, you have to finish things. That's what you learn from. You learn by finishing things. Be friendly to those who enjoy your work and friendliest to those who attack it. That is something we've been talking about on the show lately, the ability for someone to take criticism, and not just that, but the desire to have people in your circle that are willing to give you the straight truth. I know a lot of people, I've come by a lot of people in power in my career that don't want to hear any criticism, leaders. And I think you can succeed, obviously. A lot of people in power I've known have a lot of yes men and like to be around yes men. But then I think the really special leaders are the ones who go out of their way to bring no men into their circle. Because that's when shit gets real. That's when you can really, you know, you can rely on those people to bring you back down to earth. We're humans. We're going to get emotional. We're going to get caught up in our own ideas every now and then. It's inevitable. But you don't rise to the level of your ability. You fall to the level of your systems. If you have a system in place where you have people in your circle, their roles kind of get assigned. You know, it's like, I'm going to go to this person if I'm struggling with this problem. I'm going to go to this person if I'm struggling in my relationship. I'm going to go to that person to talk about work stuff because I know they're going to give it to me straight and they're not going to yes man me. It's nice to be around yes men for the ego, but I think the best leaders are the ones that are devoid of ego. Maybe not devoid, but like, if you're going by percent, like 2% ego, right? I think ego does drive the bus, and we talked about this on episodes before, but male ego especially can also crash the bus. Okay. What would you do today if you wanted to maximize laughter? Go to a comedy show. What would you do today, or listen to Theo Von and Joey Diaz podcast? It's really fire. What would you do today if you wanted to maximize time outside? I'd probably play golf. What would you do today if you wanted to maximize peace of mind? I'd probably meditate for an hour. I ain't never done that. The longest I've ever meditated was for 40 minutes. And I really, I'm an experienced meditator. And I feel like I was ready to roll over my damn grave, boy. I laid down on my back on a bed. It was nice, but, you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't get to the last 10 minutes. I was like, damn, type deal. All right, what else do we got? Anything? Farnham Street. If we can't work smarter, we resort to working harder. We cut out lunch, skip the gym, and run from one meeting to another so we can fit more in. Being busy seems to matter more than getting stuff done. Amen, brother. And I'm saying amen because I've been there before where there's not much going on at the office. I'm working for someone else, and they come out of their office, and I immediately fumble to start looking like I'm doing something. And, you know, you scramble, you put your phone down, get off the Instagram, whatever. And I've found that that doesn't happen when you truly find something that you love doing for the sake of doing it, right? No expectation of any gain. And me personally, I don't like doing it for someone else. I don't like furthering someone else's dream. And I found that the things I choose to do for work these days seem like they're much more focused, they're much more meaningful. And I'm blessed to have the opportunity to work for myself. You know, I don't take that for granted. Insights. Fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you. I think that just comes with having inner clarity and truth about what you want to do in this life. And then that energy kind of exudes outward and people start to buy the vision. But there are a lot of silver-tongued devils out there that are just good at talking and selling their vision. They don't really know where it's going, but they're idealizing it all and able to communicate that effectively. There's people like that out there too. The test of a businessman is not whether he can make money in one or two boom years or can make money through the luck of getting into the field first, but whether in a highly competitive field without having any initial advantage over his competitors, he can outdistance them in a perfect, honorable way. and keep the respect of himself and his community. Don't be a sellout. That's what I got from that. Don't be a fucking weasel ass sellout. Too many sellouts in the world today, but their time will come. It's just what it is. Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. I love that because persistence is a choice. The only reason I've gotten to where I've gotten is through persistence. I don't have that much fucking talent. Look at me. I just stayed on the horse, man. You get freaking hit and you get knocked down and get up, and it's easier said than done, especially in the moment. But when you identify what we can do long term and how powerful our thinking is, how powerful our spirits are, you realize that you find the will and determination to push on and persist and show the fuck back up, baby. Type deal. Restlessness is a sign you've overstayed your welcome with where you are and need to leave by moving toward the person you can be. Our love of stability keeps us where we are. The key is to leave just before you're ready. If you leave too late, you miss the opportunity. Restlessness. I can remember periods of my life where I was damn restless as a peeping Tom, man. That's real. Am I going to wrestle with my damn mic stand today or what? All right. Most people are brought up believing that if they are a good person, good things will happen to them. While not entirely wrong, it's not enough to unlock your potential. It's like walking up to a door with two locks and only one key. If you want to go inside, you need the other key. The second key is going positive and going first, proactively helping others. When both keys are used together, the door unlocks and a previously hidden world of opportunities reveals itself. That's right. This is long today. All right, that's too long. I'm going to spare you all that. All right, let's move on to some NFL news. Breaking news. This happened a couple of days ago. The Vikings and Justin Jefferson reached an agreement on a 4-year, $140 million contract extension that includes $110 million guaranteed and makes him not only the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history, but the highest paid non-QB in NFL history. Get paid, young. Get paid. Get paid, young. Get paid. This is like a $15 mic stand from Amazon, dude. And, you know, we're trying to keep initial investment low for in the jar. And I think we do okay. But, yeah, man, sometimes you just got to take a damn breather to fix the mic stand type thing. But anyway, Justin Jefferson getting paid. He is still, I want to say he's the best receiver in the league. Shout out to my boy, Jamar Chase. He's worth that money. And Christian McCaffrey signed a 2-year extension worth $19 million a year. So he's the highest paid running back out there. And he's still paid less than all of these wide receivers. You got all of these guys getting paid more than CMC on a yearly basis. And then the next slide, there's even more. There's 22 wide receivers. Brandon Cooks is making more bread per year than Christian McCaffrey. Now, I understand why. Running backs are notoriously beat up. So, I mean, some linebackers have been able to play the game a long time and played at a high level, but I would liken linebackers and running backs to each other on opposite sides of the football in terms of their shelf life playing football. You can only plug the A gap so many times before your body starts to wear down. I mean, I was no more than a practice squad player at Samford University, but let me tell you what, boy, I filled some A gaps in practice. I sure did. And the wear and tear that my body felt, I can't imagine game reps. I can't imagine hundreds of game reps for years. And it's just inevitable. If you don't, there are some guys that are special that take care of themselves in such a way. I've been blessed to be around fighters like Sean O'Malley that have kind of paved the way for like, hey, this is what you should eat if you want to take care of yourself. These are your routines you should be going through to take care of yourself mentally, spiritually, physically. And not a lot of cats do that. It's less common than you think, but I saw an interesting video about how Christian McCaffrey kind of works out in the off season. And this video tells me this boy might be getting underpaid. He might have a longer career than these executives feel like he is gonna. Here it is.
Yeah. I love that stuff, man. The gymnastics and animal movements. One, it's fun. Like, I like training if it's fun. You know, it's like with the gymnastics and stuff, I think is very pertinent to football because you're always put in these weird positions. And if you haven't been there before, that's when bad stuff can happen. So I think putting your body in different positions in a controlled environment as like a supplemental auxiliary workout, it's a full body, in a way, isometric, eccentric movement with you in the ground, which is what falling is.
Yeah.
And I think the more you can become animal strong, just you and the ground or the world, whatever, that translates to lifting. Like, you get stronger in the weight room just by doing that.
Yeah.
I feel stronger than I've ever been. And I don't lift heavy weights at all. I've been doing my 100 kettlebell swings every morning after I get out the cold plunge, man. And, my girl said my shoulder 2 times wider. Just, you know, it's all that type thing. A little ego stroke to the head, boy. But, no, it's like I love that. I love walking around like a gorilla, being weird, and playing with the dogs, you know, grabbing on them, pulling on them, getting to growl and bite. It's just one of them things, man. It's in our DNA to want to move like that. I've been doing an app. I signed on a subscription to an app called Pliability. I showed this to one of my boys the other night, but it basically says, hey, what do you want to work on? What's hurting you? What sports do you play or do? And it spits out a customized 10-minute per morning stretching regimen. It's changed my whole deal. Been doing it for about 3 weeks a month now, every day. And it's stretching was kind of the last piece of the puzzle for me in terms of taking care of myself that I was struggling to check. There wasn't any structure for me. You know, I thought I knew some stretches, but then, you know, you never get around to it. And I got this app. I've been sticking with it every morning, and it's great, man. I feel good. I was in a cage with one of the scariest people I've ever known this morning, and you know, he takes care of me. He could kill me, but I felt like I belonged in there a little bit, which was nice. Next deal. Texans and Vikings have gotten new uniforms. Here's Stephon Diggs in Houston's new H-Town uniform. You got CJ Stroud in the mix. Right there, my editor Luke, I have to throw that together because I had to do a couple scrolls over on the Google Drive to pull the CJ Stroud file up. But Houston's got new unis. I know Minnesota's got some, and we'll show those on the show here. But another interesting little deal. Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie is reportedly exploring sale of a minority stake in the team. Minority stake. I'm going to Google this and get more on this. A Philly celebrity is interested. Rob McElhenney from one of my favorite shows, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, was teasing this a little bit. Him and his buddy Ryan Reynolds have obviously done a great job with that soccer organization. So, yeah, man. Mike McDaniel is starting every meeting 24 minutes into the hour, 1 minute for every year since Miami last won a playoff game. He said, I had every staff meeting I put at like 724 or 324 or 524, the number 24. That's how many years it's been since the organization has won a playoff game. I love the way Mike McDaniel does things. I really want to see the Dolphins succeed under him. I just want the Bengals to get a championship before. And then we can talk about the Dolphins going and getting a championship. But it's clear the Dolphins have had a really contender level of talent the last couple of years, and they haven't done anything with it in the postseason. Kind of what the Bengals struggle with literally my whole life, even on years that we were good. We couldn't win a playoff game, and we finally got that off our shoulder. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Next deal. All right, so this is about Nick Chubb's injury against the Steelers in week two that destroyed his knee. And Nick Chubb is one of these guys, man. Nick Chubb is so damn athletic. I've been around guys like this that are so damn athletic that their body literally cannot handle the amount of force that's moving through it. And I think Nick Chubb's one of those people. I remember seeing him when we played Georgia when I was in college, and he just had tree trunks for legs. He's always been a special athlete, but he said this about Minkah Fitzpatrick's hit on him. He said, I don't think it was a dirty hit at all. I'm not blaming him. It's part of the game. Here's the clip.
Oh, I don't think it's a dirty hit at all. You know, I'm not blaming him. It's part of the game.
Nick Chubb is perfect for Cleveland. He's soft-spoken. He shows up. He does the job when he's not hurt. He puts his head down when he's talking, just like he puts his head down when he's running the ball, man. It's just, I really like a player like Nick Chubb. I hate that he's in our division. But nothing like a little friendly competition. And the reason I say that is that the Eagles drafted a cornerback out of Toledo, I believe. Toledo, I think, is in Ohio. His name's Quinyon Mitchell. He was a first or second rounder. I think he was a first rounder, late first rounder. And A.J. Brown, arguably one of the best receivers in the whole league, had this to say about Quinyon Mitchell at OTA practice.
Doesn't talk as much. Guys, I don't think y'all know that. He doesn't really say anything. And the first words I heard from him was like, hey, that route was trash. I said, what? I said, you don't even talk and you talking trash. And so it was funny. It was funny to hear from him, you know. And I told him, I said, all right, I'd like to see that. You know, I want to see you step up.
That's fire. It's always, you always know. I feel like in the NFL, you always know if a rookie's got that sauce, if he's got the balls to talk shit to guys like A.J. Brown early in practice, when you're taking reps, when you're doing one-on-ones, you know, because the only way a rookie would have the balls to talk to a all-pro veteran like that would be if he knows he's got the sauce. He knows he's got the ability to back up the talk early. I think it's pretty cool. I think the Eagles probably got a guy in Quinyon Mitchell over there at cornerback, man. I really do. And the Eagles fans will live and die with a guy like that, a young guy that takes the reins, talks a little shit, but he's still soft-spoken, backs it up. I love that. That's good juice. So the Vikings came out with new uniforms, icy winter uniforms. There's a helmet, and then here's the promo. I forget what they're called, but I saved this because I knew. Winter Warrior alternate unis. It'd be cool if the Vikings played outside, man, but they probably can't. You know, someone told me that worked for the Vikings when they were living in Minneapolis. They knew it was a warm day in the winter if it was snowing. Apparently, if the temperature gets low enough, it cannot snow anymore. So folks that live in Minneapolis, one told me, he said, yeah, if it's snowing in Minneapolis in the winter, it's a warm day. So you think about how gritty outdoor games with the Vikings would be. It's a moot point because they play in an arena. That's not going to change. But imagine the advantage they'd have. You saw the advantage playing out when it was historically cold in Kansas City in the playoffs when they hosted the Miami Dolphins. I think that was a factor. Patrick Mahomes' freaking part of his helmet broke off because it was so cold in Kansas City in a wild card. I think it was a wild card game. Could have been a divisional round. But there's another shot. That big white defensive lineman for the Vikings is a dog. I can't remember his first name, but that boy plugs gaps. He's a road grader. Bull. Gets his hands in there, baby. All right, what else do we got? We got a little Jorge Masvidal's team scrapping with Nate Diaz's team. I forgot that they had a boxing match come up. The boys had Jorge on the show a week or two ago. He's one of my favorite fighters ever. The scrappiness, you can't match it. The background, you can't match it. The mentality, I don't think you can really match it. And same for Nate Diaz. So it's going to be a fun boxing match. The fact that Nick Diaz is coming back to the UFC at age 41, hasn't won a fight in like, it's either 10 years or 14 years. I hope that he's able to put on a good showing. And obviously, if he feels like he could take a fight, I don't know. But here's a clip of the two squads tussling. He's cool. That ain't nothing at all I ain't seen before. Our boy Schmidt he's been actively chirping Merab Dvalishvili on social media for some time now, and Sean and Tim are telling him, hey, like, you know, whenever that card happens, like, you got to be ready to scrap, because you've been talking. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to get him flared up or whatever, but I mean, I think they have a point. But that kind of stuff, man, I feel like it's part of the game. It's just tempers are going to flare. Everybody's a badass, you know. Nobody wants to be disrespected. And, you see that playing out with Jorge and Nate here and their two teams. And then let's see what we got for the rest of the show. All right. It's always much. He's a big, sweet boy. He's a big boy. I just don't know how you get a bear. Yeah, big dog. That's crazy, bro. Imagine having a pet bear. Just knowing that he could kill you at any moment, but he won't. You can roughhouse with him all day, and he's just going to hang out. Take him to the club. Have him be your bodyguard. No one's trying to get in any tussles or dust-ups anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because I got a damn bear with me, boy. I got a damn grizzly bear that I speak Russian to with me, boy. You know what I'm saying? Got him ready to take a slice out of your jugular. You know what I mean? I saw something on, there's an Instagram account called Nature is Metal. It was a guy that survived a bear attack in Grand Teton National Park. I think that's in Wyoming. scary stuff. You think about the scene from The Revenant where he gets torn up by a bear. As graphic as that is, I can't imagine that being far from reality, that scene where old Leo gets torn up by the big old grizzly. Shoots him right in the face with a damn shotgun, and it just felt like a scratch to him. It just pissed him off, pissed her off. It's normally the mama bears. And I think that bear attack in Grand Teton National Park that happened recently was a mama bear with cubs. And the guy saw the cubs first, and he was like, fuck, I'm screwed. All right. Here's John Jones talking about anxiety.
By that, elaborate.
What I mean by it? Okay, so the butterflies in formation. Basically, it means when you have butterflies and you're feeling anxious and you have anxiety or nervous, that's when you're most powerful, I believe. And either you can... you're most powerful. So a lot of people, instead of homing this power and using it, they allow it to just consume them. You know, there's another quote that says, a big challenge or big pressure is like a fire. It's like a raging fire. Either you can allow this fire to consume you and just take you over completely, or you can gain control of this fire and harness it, and you blow it right at your opponent, like Dragon Ball Z stuff
and all that type of stuff. Like, don't get me wrong, I have the worst anxiety. I get very nervous, but I owe it to myself to not be afraid, and I owe it to my beliefs to just fucking get out there and do something rare and special. This is where you were meant to be. Like, this is what you're good at, and you owe it to all the people out there who are unsure. Like, you owe it to them to be as excellent as you can be when you found what you're good at. And the way I look at anxiety is it just means that you care. You care about the outcome and how you perform and how you're perceived and everything. I feel like when you get to a place when you don't feel anything, it's probably when it's time to hang it up. Damn. And try something different.
I didn't see that second interview clip. I just saw the clip with Ariel, and I was like, I've seen that before. And I mean, my lady, she's in a very highly skilled niche industry, and she's looking for a new job, and it's, and you know, every interview that comes by, she said, oh, I'm anxious. And I just remember this clip from John Jones talking about channeling that anxiety and almost like Dragon Ball seeing it at your opponent or at whatever task is at hand. And it's like, I mean, I almost have nothing to say after that John Jones clip, because he put it as perfectly as anyone could. And that's coming from the greatest warrior in the history of combat sports, that type of mentality. So why would you not want to copy that? A guy that's probably got more reason to be anxious than any human in any profession, I'd almost argue. Yeah, it's fighting. I mean, there's other things that I'm sure bring a lot of anxiety, different types. But I feel like fear is what we're getting at here. It's like, how, as a human being in the world, trying to not just survive but thrive, how do you set aside fear? How do you bring about the courage to push forward even though you know it might not work out for you? How do you get rid of that fear of it working out for you? I heard a quote from on a podcast from a fella named Naval Ravikant. And he was talking about the fact that 80-90% of our thoughts are fear-based. And that really kind of woke me up. All of our thoughts are, a lot of our thoughts are fear-based. So it's like, how well can we manage those thoughts? How well can we stay aware when those thoughts arise, to take a look at them and say, is this worth more of my mental energy? Is this worth more of my spiritual energy? It's a hard thing to do, but it can be honed, and that is a choice. You can hone the power of being able to monitor your own thoughts and think things through. It's like, well, I'm worried this will happen. Okay, and it might. But how am I going to respond if that happens? Well, I might probably do this. Okay, and then this happens. And that's not so bad. Kind of thinking it through. Bringing all the dirty, nasty stuff to the surface and just having a chat with them. You know? I think that's really the root of the John Jones clip that we showed here. Okay, here's the last clip of the week. And then we'll get into one more thing. That's my dog. That's me, bro. You talk about anxiety for the animal, bro. Can you imagine? I wonder what kind of, in order to airlift an animal somewhere like that, number one, what warrants the need to airlift the animal from one place to another? I'm genuinely asking. I'm sure there's a damn good reason that people are spending helicopter fuel on airlifting animals out and into places. Imagine what kind of rope you'd have to put together if someone came to you and said, Johnny, we got to airlift this elephant out of here. It's making a big scene in the ecosystem. What would they do? Would they say, yeah, I'm going to get my 1 foot radius, circumference, whatever the hell, titanium, steel, greater rope to airlift this elephant on out of here, Bubs. I got you. That was a hybrid word between boy and Bubs. I got you. I'm going to airlift this elephant out of here. Fight you. Last deal of the day. We got some tips from our friends at Quality of Life Neurohacker. Your cognitive capacity is significantly reduced when your smartphone is within reach, even if it's not in use. In 2020, a study was made. Participants whose phones were taken away for 20 minutes during a working task had better memory recall than those with a phone next to them, even when not in use. I feel like that's got something to do with the frequencies the phone's putting off, right? Just like our thoughts are energy in real time putting off frequencies, I feel like the phone's got its own damn frequencies that it's putting off. And that, I think, the frequencies that an iPhone puts off, I would argue, are the reason that our cognitive capacity is reduced when our phone is around. Those frequencies are interfering with other frequencies within us and radiating out of us. I would argue that's the main factor, but I also think that probably the thought of picking up your phone and scrolling also has something to do with that. I don't know, man. I ain't a neuroscientist. I just think this shit's interesting. But we'll cut it there. We're at about an hour. This is In the Jar with your boy, Dupe, episode 22. Make sure to like this video, comment. It helps out a lot. And hit that subscribe button if we hit you in the chest at any point in time throughout the course of this episode. I love y'all. I'll see y'all next week. This is In the Jar.